A win for Walmart. The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. Walmart got a break in court yesterday. A federal judge overturned a law. It would have required Walmarts in Maryland to spend at least 8% of payroll on health care or shell out the difference in taxes. The ruling could have big implications. Alex Cohen explains.
After Maryland passed its so-called Fair Share Law in January, Walmart and the Retail Industry Leaders Association filed suit against it, in part to send a message to at least 30 other states considering similar legislation. Yesterday, Judge Frederick Motz ruled it was unfair to make Walmart dole out different benefits in different states. Ron Pollack of the healthcare advocacy group Families USA says the decision may give other states one more reason to back off of Walmart.
I think states are more interested in larger, more systematic approaches that don't only focus on one company, but are likely to provide relief for many other people who might be in other companies.
Pollack says states may be more likely to follow the example of Massachusetts, which passed a law earlier this year requiring companies with just 11 employees or more to provide health coverage. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
It's not easy to destroy something that constantly changes. That's one of the reasons it's been so hard to come up with a vaccine for HIV. But a new $287 million grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation will help researchers start from scratch all over again. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
The search for a vaccine began soon after the AIDS virus was identified back in 1981. Researchers say part of the reason a vaccine remains elusive is because HIV is a retrovirus. It mutates and can hijack your chromosomes. Many researchers want fresh perspectives on the virus from outsiders and say the grants will help them attract new talent. Leo Stamatatos is with the Seattle Biomedical Research Institute. The foundation awarded his team $19 million. He says the money will free him up to do research that's too experimental to receive federal funding.
But the Gates Foundation basically says we will try everything, everything that's new, everything that can be high risk, meaning it might not deliver, but something may come out of it. So this is what we're doing now.
But high risks often yield big returns. The foundation's hoping to find a vaccine in the next 5 to 6 years. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Something to think about as you hit the road this morning. A new survey from AutoByTel finds 84% of drivers say they use their cell phones while driving. That's although 70% of those same folks say cell phone and driving don't mix safely. Even worse, 58% admit they've taken both hands off the wheel to deal with some kind of high-tech gadget. Nice. Comments from Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke convinced the stock market to put the pedal to the metal yesterday. Testifying before the Senate Banking Committee, Bernanke said he thinks inflation will simmer down over the next several months, and that could mean an end to interest rate hikes. That was all it took to send the Dow charging up 212 points, or almost 2%. The NASDAQ jumped 37 points, or 1.8%. The S&P 500 shot up 22 points, 1.8%. This is Marketplace. Congress is cracking down on internet gambling, but as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, a tiny country in the Caribbean is fighting back and calling in the big guns, the World Trade Organization.
Antigua and Barbuda hosts many online casinos. It says by making it tough for Americans to use them, the U.S. is choking off the island's revenue and threatening jobs. Peter Morisi of the University of Maryland says it is legal under WTO law to impose rules that protect public morals, an argument the U.S. has used in curbing online gambling. But still,
there's nothing more inherently immoral about gambling on the internet abroad than there is about gambling domestically. It's hypocritical for the Congress to put in place these restrictions, and I think that there's a decent shot that they could get overturned in the WTO.
But if the WTO sides with the U.S., he warns other countries could have an excuse to outlaw American internet exports using similar arguments. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And you're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Teach for America's core of recent college grads, working to ensure students get access to educational opportunities at teachforamerica.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Cheryl Glazer.
That's one of the tracks on a new album that hits record stores next week. The album's called Savan, and it's the last one recorded by the late African blues guitarist Ali Farka Touré. The album was produced by Nick Gold, a pioneer in what the recording biz calls world music. When Gold first got into the industry some 20 years ago, he didn't focus too much on making a profit. Just as well, since most record stores then didn't carry world music like they do today.
I don't think I actually ever considered whether it would make a viable business or not. It was just something that I had a passion to do, and that I wanted to work with the musicians and artists, and I thought that they needed to be heard, that they were creating something of value that could be shared with people.
Instead of bringing musicians to studios in London or New York, Gold often goes to where the artists are and records them on their home turf. In the case of Ali Farka, that meant traveling to Mali.
It's not so much to get a performance out of the artists on their home turf that will be different, because someone like Ali will just perform as Ali wherever he is. The main advantage of recording on location is access to other musicians. We could have brought Ali into Europe on his own. In the end, we used a cast of, I don't know, not a huge cast, but there were eventually 12 or 13 people on it spread over various tracks. Like, say, for example, you need a traditional one-string fiddle on this song. I mean, you're stuck if you're in London, but in Mali you can do it. I think one time we had to drive a 24-track portable recording studio right across the Sahara up to Ali's village. So it's not easy, but to get what you need to get without compromise, it's the only way to do it sometimes.
About 10 years ago, Gold made a big splash. He and guitarist Rai Cooter flew to Cuba to produce a jazz album with local artists. The result? The smash hit Buena Vista Social Club.
When we were recording that record, we knew we had something beautiful. They'd lived with this music and nurtured it. They performed it with a love and a passion. I think it very much comes across on the record. It doesn't feel manufactured in any way. It feels very, very real.
Sort of the antithesis, Gold says, of Britney Spears. So, can he share any secrets with the big record labels trying to survive in this era of downloads?
I think part of it, I have to admit, is luck. But the production we do, we don't spend a huge amount of money making the records we make. Basically, we run quite a tight ship as well. We're a very small company. There's only 7 of us. You know, we just try and cover every aspect we can.
Producer Nick Gold's newest album is Savan by Ali Farka Touré. You can check it out at our website, www.marketplace.org. American Public Media.
You can learn a lot from reading pulpy romance. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.